Here we go. Let's learn a little bit about Hanukkah. So the Medrash says, V'ha'aretz hoysa soyu vavoyu v'choyshech al pnei soyu. Soyu vavoyu, right? Empty and mixed. V'choyshech al pnei soyu. And there was a darkness that was everlasting. So the Medrash goes, and Medrash Rabbah on that very pasuk in Bereishis, the beginning of the Torah, goes and says, "V'ha'aretz hoysa soyu," that is bavel, okay, emptiness. "V'avoyu," was paras. "V'choyshech," what's choyshech? Zu yavan, and so much ink has been spilled. What's choyshech? What is the darkness of yavan? "V'." Al Pnei Sahaim is Eder. Now we are presently in Golos Eder. Now, just for starters, we're going to get through all the history right now. We're going to go through as much as we can. There is a direct connection, a direct continuation from Yavan into Eder. No mention of Malchus Beis Chashmonai. One succeeded the next. The Golos was one after the other, after the other, after the other. And seemingly, Malchus Beis Chashmonai, which was a good 150, 160 years, didn't make it. Something to be explored. We're going to get there. So, where are we? Let's put it into perspective. So we had Golos Bavel. Bavel was headed by anyone? Nebuchadnezzar. And then followed by Evel Merudach. Then Belshazzar, and then we get to Daryovish. Wow. Okay, great. A lot of these things I learned myself, so this is all new. Let's do this together. So Daryovish the
first.
Very good. Okay. Daryovish the first was not so good to the Yidden. Daryovish the first was followed by
Koyrish.
Very good. Koyrish is called in English
Cyrus.
Very good. Okay, great. Unbelievable. And then so we have Cyrus. Cyrus in old. You didn't learn global? No, global? Okay.
I mean, I did.
Okay, fine. Cyrus. Now, Cyrus enabled the Yidden. The beauty of Cyrus was he enabled the Yidden to go back to Eretz Yisrael and to start building the Beis HaMikdash. Now, was that L'shem Shamayim? Was that for his own political gain? To, you know, have people who are fond of their emperor? Okay. Then we have Zerubbabel. Right? Kate's Bavel, Zerubbabel. It's not a joke. The song actually has a meaning. Who would have known? The song has a pshat. There's a pshat in the song. Kates Bavel Zerubbabel. And he brings back 40,000 Yidden back to Eretz Yisrael. Zerubbabel brings back 40,000 Yidden to Eretz Yisrael. The Malbim actually says, I heard from Rabbi Breidowitz. Anyone? Rabbi Breidowitz?
Yes.
Unbelievable. Highly recommended. So, Rabbi Breidowitz mentioned a Malbim. That the Malbim said, had more returned to Eretz Yisrael with Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel would have been Mashiach. But you couldn't drag Yidden out of their homes back to Eretz Yisrael. Which is a big Musar Haskel. You ever thought about it? Luckily, in this regard, it's a luckily. Luckily, I don't own my home. But if I did, it would be quite an assignment. Tomorrow, we're all leaving to Eretz Yisrael, and you could rent a two-bedroom in Beit Shemesh for 4,000. By then, can you imagine the prices when we all go to Eretz Yisrael? Okay, but Zerubbabel wasn't able to go and be Mashiach. And where does that leave us? They start building the Beis HaMikdash. And there's nothing new, Ein Chadash Tachas HaShemesh. We're going to try to, you know, Ein Chadash Tachas HaShemesh, when Yidden, who are not as law-abiding and not as firm as the others, hear of Yidden on the way to build the Beis HaMikdash. So they're malshin on Klal Yisrael, and they said that, they're trying to build their own temple just to usurp and just to avoid being part of your kingdom, and they put a stop order on the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. There it goes. What happens next? We then have Achashverosh. Right? Achashverosh is Paras. Right? The reason why Paras Haman. It's a gzeras. It's a gzeras kilyon. They're trying to destroy Klal Yisrael fully. So we have Achashverosh, and Achashverosh, after Achashverosh, who's the next king?
Dariavish
II, whose mother was, according to many opinion, he was the offspring. Darius II was the offspring of Esther and Achashverosh. Some of this is well known, some of this is depending on the person.
We're learning it for the first time.
Yeah. Okay. So then they started rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash. Darius II enabled them to rebuild, and you know, a yid. He was Taka Yid. So okay. So now let's get back to just some of the basics. What is Hanukkah? What is Hanukkah actually about? So, you know, we always look to Chazal. We always look to Chazal. Chazal should fill us in. Chazal, please teach us. Where's Hanukkah? What's Hanukkah? Go through Psukim. It's not in Ksuvim. Okay. Go through Mishnayos. It's not in Mishnayos.
Five mentions, random.
Oh, it's not in Mishnayos. Rabbeinu HaKadosh lived well after Hanukkah happened. Well after. No Mishnayos about it. So, at least you leave it to the Gemaras. So, where did the Gemara mention it? My Hanukkah, it's a Braisa. Didn't even make it into Mishnayos. It's a Braisa. The Gemara integrates a Braisa. Another one, in Baba Kama. The camel's walking.
That's a Mishnah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's mentioned five times. I don't know the five, but five
times. It's mentioned five times. Mishnah. See Rabbi Klein afterwards, and we'll try to find where they are.
Megillah,
Rosh Hashanah, Baba Kama.
Somewhere in Israel.
About the Etzem Nes.
No, just
about
the word.
Oh, the word Hanukkah. Okay, yeah. So you do a, thank you. That's exactly my point. If you do a search, a computer search, where does the word Hanukkah come up in Mishnayos, you will have results. But what happened? Why wasn't Hanukkah spoken about? Why wasn't Hanukkah? This is such an integral thing. And this is what we're celebrating. What are we celebrating exactly? So, where are we going to turn to? The davening, the tefillah. So, you'll get one version, and then you look in many other svarim, you get a whole other version. What happened? What is it actually all about? So, by way of introduction, what led up to Antiochus? Who was Antiochus? Where was Antiochus a king? He was actually a king in Syria, because Alexander the Great was the ruler. Alexander Mokdon. Yeah? Now, the Gemara in Yuma tells over a story that he met none other than Shimon HaTzadik. Why? Because he was planning on taking over. The Gemara in Yuma, Samachtes, Ayintes? Samachtes. Okay, goes and says over a story with Shimon HaTzadik that he was going to greet Alexander, Alexander the Great, to go and try to speak with him. Alexander goes and sees Shimon HaTzadik, bows down and says, I've been seeing you every dream before every battle. You must be a great person. And he decides he's going to spare the Yidden. And as a result, there were two things, two big, big honors that they gave Alexander, that they decided they're going to name, I saw two versions, either just Kohanim or all Jewish boys of that generation, and by extension, many generations, Alexander, which was a bona fide Greek name, and it was integrated into Yiddish. It's a Yiddish name, Alexander, number one. And number two, there was a Minyan Ashtaris. Minyan Ashtaris began in honor of Alexander, when we were spared by Alexander, thanks to Shimon HaTzadik. So, Alexander went on a conquest, conquering the world. And like any good conqueror, he dies. Well, we all die. But he dies, and he actually died young. And then the generals start jockeying and vying for a piece of the pie. And there's four. It was split into four. I don't even remember the names, and I'm not a historian. So here I'm just going to throw out my hands. Anyone who wants to learn global, tonight's not the night. So there were four different parts. Seleucia. Anyone help me out? Again?
Seleucid.
Yeah, Seleucid. And what was the other one that was adjacent? There were two.
Ptolemy.
Thank you. No. I'm looking for
the
two ones that Eretz Israel was squished in between two of the empires. Which two?
The The Seleucids and the Ptolemies.
Okay. The Ptolemies and Seleucids. There you have it. So now that's the reason, that's why Eretz Yisrael was always in the middle, trying to be thrown around, trying to be overcame to try to get it into your kingdom. Antiochus was in Syria. But he was clearly affiliated and part of the greater Yavon kingdom. We're doing just background. So let's just do one more. Yeah, one more. And what are Maccabim? Who were the Maccabim and what were the Hashmonaim? And where do they come in? So where does the word Hashmonaim come from? Anyone? So we say in Moshe Tzur. You don't say it? All Chabad doesn't say it? Chabad doesn't say it. Okay. Obviously. And so for anyone who says it, again? So we have the word in Moisur, Chashmanim. Chashmanim actually is a pasuk from Tehillim in reference to the noble ones. So the noble ones, maybe that's why the Chashmonaim got the name Chashmonaim, because they were Chashmanim. That's one pshat given. Another pshat given is that they were from the city of Chashmon. Yeah, classic. That may have been the pshat as well. So that's Chashmonaim. Then we get to the Maccabim. Who were the Maccabim? There were five. Now, there's a lot to be learned and a lot to be gleaned from just understanding who they were and how they got that name. Who were the Maccabim? There were five. There was Matsisio and his five sons. Now, we're all, the entire army.
Wouldn't it be six?
What? No, they refer to the five sons. Matsisio got involved at one point.
The Maccabim were five, I'm saying.
Correct.
Historically, wouldn't it be six?
Yeah, Maccabim? Yeah. Again, yeah, you are correct. You are correct. I didn't mean to say exactly five. There were very few Maccabim. Again?
Yochanan.
Ah. What were the five?
It was a son of...
So, it's funny you say this, because let's do show and tell for a moment, yeah? Let's do show and tell. As we started, how do we even know any of this? If Chazal didn't tell us this, where are we even getting? Where does all this stuff come from? Global. Most Tzur. Exactly. Josephus. Sefer Maccabim. So how do you even spell... How do you even spell Maccabim? What is Maccabi? Where does it even come from?
One pshat to
Rashi Tevis. Rashi Tevis 4, Mi Chamoicha Bo'elim Hashem. Mi Chamoicha Mem Chaf. Oh, says the Chassam Sofer. Rabbi Klein's on fire. Says the Chassam Sofer, Yochanan ben Matzio Koin. Right? Because Yochanan Koin Gadol was the son of Matzio Koin Gadol, who was also, that's Koin, that means it's with a Chaf. Cuff. And then another pshat given is that there's a tool and a weapon called a makeves. It's a sledgehammer of sorts. Makeves or a makav, there's various psukim and nach that talk about such a utensil, is with a kuf. So how do you spell makavi? Is it with a kuf or with a chaf? Fine. So it happens to be, we'll do show and tell, Sefer Maccabim. There's Megillas Tainus. Megillas Tainus is a history sefer that predated Mishnayos. Megillas Tainus does mention Chanukah. Fine, that's one reason why Chazal may not have mentioned it. Then we have another source. Then they all refer to the Svarim Chitzoinim. So Svarim Chitzoinim in Chazal have a very bad rap. If you learn the Gemara Menachas, it talks about the Chiyuv of Talmud Torah, right? Ragisa b'Yom v'Laila. So they ask, how could Rabbi Shmuel? Anyone? Rabbi Shmuel? How could Rabbi Shmuel go and learn Svarim Chitzoinim? What, he finished his chiyuv of learning Talmud Torah? Svarim Chitzoinim, that's like the quintessential. Like, you lost it, Svarim Chitzoinim. That's where you end up. Svarim Chitzoinim. So, the answer is it was Azman, Lo Yoyim, Velo Laila. And fascinating stuff. You see, if you go through Svarim and many Gedolim Svarim, what they learned when they weren't able to learn. So, Vilna Goyin and math. Rabbi Yaakov Ben didn't learn philosophy. He tells, he writes about himself. About, you know, it's a broader discussion. Again, Ein Chadash Tachas HaShemesh. integrating Chachma Chitzayna into a person's worldview. And to what extent? This is a debate for, since Gemara, Rishonim, you name it. There are those who say that part of Girush Svard was because in Spain there was a lot of Chachma Chitzayna going on. Ever heard that one? Okay, great. Those are the same people who were against Chachma Chitzayna. There's nothing new. Ein Chadash Tachas HaShemesh. Every machlekes that we find today is a recurring machlekes that's been on for generations. The Ramon, the Marshal, as we mentioned Sunday nights, the Ramon, the Marshal, they sparred over Chachma Chitzayna. The Ramon was definitely well-versed in many, astronomy and astrology and all many good things. And the Marshal let him know about it. Now that's why your Sfarim look the way they do. And, good things, good gedolim sparring with each other. So that's where we have Sefer HaMakavim, and we have Megillas Antiochus and Josephus, and they walk through every single step. So what actually happened? So if you go through let's say, Megillas Antiochus, there are those who say Megillas Antiochus is the one that's the one that could be relied on much more than the other ones. And each one that goes and says, you know, their intro to each one will say why their book is the one that's to be relied on. But there's definitely what to glean from all of them. So on Chaf Hei Kislev, Antiochus went into the Beis HaMikdash and they defiled the Beis HaMikdash. Now, it was a result of quashing and squashing an attempted revolt that he felt threatened by. So he goes into the Beis HaMikdash and he defiles it. Now he wouldn't destroy it. It says a lot about the Yevanim and what they were coming to do. They didn't need to kill you. They didn't need to burn the building. They just wanted to uproot it. That's what we say. So there's no need to go and break the Beis HaMikdash. Let's just defile it. So he was Makriv a Chazir. Chaf Hei Kislev. Makriv a Chazir. He set up a Beis Zoynis in the Beis HaMikdash. Defiled, metame, everything they can. And there they are. Who's thriving at the same time? The Misyavnim. The Misyavnim are going, and they're thriving. They're gaining a lot of power, influence, and Ein Chadash Tachas HaShemesh. The Misyavnim were Yidden. They were Yidden who wanted to be enlightened. So we could talk about enlightenment of the... When was the first enlightenment? How many enlightenments were there? So many. The enlightenment of the 1800s. Enlightenment of... Right? This is already history, global history. How many enlightenments can we term were official, formal enlightenments? So there was one... By the Misyavnim, the Hellenists. And what were they trying to do? They were just trying to be normal. Trying to be normal and part of society. Right? Catchphrases. Just be normal. Don't be, you know, in a bubble. So, these things are hard to explore, but it shows you what was really going on. And what were they trying to do? They set up stadiums. They went and integrated the Yevoni lifestyle. And everyone knows, and you definitely heard one time from some Rebbe, somewhere, that the irony of the Maccabee games, it's crazy. Everyone's heard it from a Rebbe sometime. Yeah, shake a nod? No? Somehow, the Olympics, which were made by the Yevanim and were the quintessential expression of the goof, and were done in the nude to show that, you know, we're the quintessential, we're the zenith of creation, and we're invincible gladiators and all the good stuff. Gladiators was Roman? I take that back. No gladiators. Just Olympics. Thank you. So they were going and they were undermining Yiddishkeit and Ruchnius. And Yidden went and started taking those things and integrating into Yiddishkeit. And Chanyoy and Jason, brothers, one a Yid, Yochanan, who was a Kohen Gadol, and his brother Jason, who took on a Greek name, went and jockeyed to get the position to be the Kohen Gadol so he can build a stadium not so far from the Beis HaMikdash. And The Svarim Chitzoinim go and relay that Yidden were running to leave the Beis Hamikdash to take part in the theaters and the Yevani lifestyle. Moishech Arlasam says, we know from Chazal that they tried it. It was so embarrassing because a bris milah by definition means that humans are flawed. By definition, if you had to go and do a bris milah, that's why they couldn't. What were the Yevanim against? They were against three things. What were the three things? Bris milah, Rosh Chodesh, and Shabbos. Because Shabbos, by definition, means there's a omnipotent force that went and so willed that there should be a day of rest. There's something beyond. It doesn't make sense. Why? Where does seven come in, right? This is Eish HaTorah 101, right? Because where does the number seven come from? Every other one has some sort of natural connection. A month has a natural connection. A year has a natural connection. There's some sort of science that we can connect to a month, connect to 24 hours, connect to 365 days. 7 days has no shot. It doesn't make any sense. It's directly connected to Ubayayim Ashvi Shavas Vayinafash. We can't have that. Yevanim can't have that. Mila is the definition, by definition, saying that the Eibishter wills and so wants us to fix something in our body. The human being is imperfect. So we all know all the bris Torah that no, it's he gave it to us for us to take the initiative to go and to make something of ourselves and to be mekadesh ourselves through the Maisa Mila. But to a Yevani, these things are the antithesis of what Yevani stands for. And Rosh Chodesh as well, we're trying to be mekadesh Rosh Chodesh. It's our ability to connect to something greater, connect to something outside. We can't have any of that. That's the reason why they go against, and they cannot stand any of it. And that's where the Yevanim were coming to do. So the irony is, right? If you want to say like it's a stira. How could you go and make the Olympics and name it after the Maccabim? So they must have been naming it after the sledgehammer? Like, who knows? I don't know what, but it's well the chaf, okay? And the insurance company also, anyone who's lived in Yerushalayim, Maccabi. So,
the team,
yeah, 100%. So, that's for the hardliners. But there's definitely what to learn. There's definitely what to learn simply even from just knowing what happened. What happened was that the Chashmonaim were the impetus. Beis Chashmonaim was a bunch of Kohanim Miuchasim, who decided Klal Yisrael was always under oppression. They were always under oppression. Nothing was new. Klal Yisrael was always oppressed. They never went and made revolts. What caused and what spurred and what was the impetus for this revolt that they went and planned? You're going after Yiddishkeit? We're not going to stand for it. And they got together and were the spurring force to bring the Maccabim and start this war. And see Maccabim, if it's they actually claim, I've heard this multiple times, that in West Point, they actually learn Sefer HaMaccabim. It was initially in Greek. It was translated into Hebrew. It was written initially in Greek. The question was, did they lose the Hebrew and then all they had left was Greek, or it was just Greek and then translated into Hebrew? It doesn't make a difference. There's definitely a tremendous, tremendous nisim that went on. And what happens to Beis Chashmonai? The irony of many revolutions is that after the revolution happens, you have, however bad the Tsar was, Stalin and Lenin were much, much worse. And the Chashmonaim went and ended up being the very thing. Beis Chashmonai was the very thing that they were trying to uproot. They were trying to uproot Hellenism and trying to uproot being Oiker Yiddishkeit. And shortly after, Matisyo Yochanan, the Gemara says, Al Tamen Ba'atzmacha Ad Yoyim Moischa, don't believe in yourself till the very last day. Yochanan Kohen Gadol, one of the Maccabim, Yochanan Kohen Gadol, at the end of his life, 80 years, and went off. And shortly after, all the Beis Chashmonai was lost to corruption, was lost too, Hellenism, and they were roidev chachamim. They killed Yidden. Beis Chashmonai, right? Until Herod comes along, the Gemara Basra, and says anyone who says they're from Beis Chashmonai is an eved, because they were all killed out. Why were they killed out? Because they weren't supposed to be malachim, like the Ramban says in Vayichi. That was one of the reasons why they were obliterated, because they had no right. La yasser shevet me Yehuda. They were not malachim. So, to go and to spur the Yeshua, so be it. But to keep the malucha and to keep it going, that they had no right to do. And that's why, says the Ramban, they actually were destroyed. And there's none left. None. And anyone who says he is, he's a liar. He's an eved. And that's where Nechsam Sofer. For any history lovers, Nechsam Sofer didn't write it in a written thing. It's quoted in Chut HaMasholosh. Chut HaMasholosh is actually a biography written by Chassam Sofer's grandchild, who wrote a biography on three Gedolim. Chut HaMasholosh was the Chassam Sofer. His counterpart, who was a year apart, who was also his father-in-law, Giveger, and his son, the Chassam Sofer. So in that biography, they go and they say a vart from the Chassam Sofer that Rabbeinu HaKadosh was Mitzetzoei David HaMelech. That's why Rabbeinu HaKadosh felt that the Chashmonaim had no right to do what they do. We're not integrating, not as a personal vendetta. The Tzitz Eliezer writes in a tshuva. Someone wrote to the Tzitz Eliezer. I saw the tshuva quoted. Someone wrote to the Tzitz Eliezer. How did Chassam Sofer have the audacity to say that? That the Rabbeinu HaKadosh was taking revenge on the Chashmonaim because they wronged his family? Says the Tzitz Eliezer, no, it was an oynish. They weren't roy to be integrated into the Mishnayis because of the Chashmonaim's misdeeds. And that's why, as we mentioned earlier, there's no mention of Chashmonaim from Yavan to Rome to, right, Edom. There's no mention of the respite that we had being under Yiddish rule, because it wasn't Yiddish rule. It was Misyavnim. It was the Misyavnim who were ruling over Klal Yisrael and killing Talmid HaChachamim at times. There were Shlengtzer and Amalka. She was a breath of fresh air. Anyone's been to Misrad HaPanim? Yeah? Misrad HaPanim, Shlengtzer and Amalka. That's how you learn Nach in Eretz Yisrael, right? Who was Agrippas, right? You just think of falafels. So anyone with me? No, I'm talking to myself. Okay, great. So you with me? Okay, fine. He doesn't want to incriminate himself. So that's really when you understand the whole backdrop, and you understand the Chashmonaim, the original ones. They went and they started this war because Yiddishkeit was under attack, and when Yiddishkeit's under attack, you don't stand idly by. And that brings us to the last step. What in the world were they thinking? Did they have a right to do what they did? Ma'abid atzma ladas, it's an isser. You're not allowed to put yourself in such sakana. Ain't simchel an al-nes. However you want to ask the same question, how were they even allowed to do what they did? It was, they had no chance. The stats, if you look at the stats, the numbers, it was 1 in 16. To even have a chance to put up an opposition, it needs to be 1-3. And 1-16, they were 16 times outnumbered in their warriors. And a few Yidden getting together and fighting, how do they even have the right to do such a thing? That's the question that begs to be asked about the whole storyline. Many answers are given. The Altar of Kelm goes and writes that you see from throughout from Yaakov Avinu, he brings many, many rayas. In Chachma Musar, he says this. He says that it was the Hisoyerus that they took the initiative. He took the initiative to not just sit idly back and to go and make a move. Many people, if you met the Chashmonaim Bismanam, you would call them fanatics. They were fanatic. They're going to go. And imagine a few of us. Let's go. Anyone have a gun license? Again, no one's going to want to answer. Okay, let's take on the American army. Let's do it. First of all, you know, they're losing all their weapons anyway. We'll be fine. And yeah, okay, let's go. Let's do it. Why? Because they're going after the yeshivas. Imagine if you saw someone say that. You would think he lost his mind. He lost his mind. You've been reading too much, you know, good the newsletters. You have to fight, and that's it. You lost your mind. It was no different. The Hashmonaim, they felt threatened. The Yiddish guy was threatened, and they went, and they took a stand. And what happened? They won. Oh, you know, for all the naysayers against the hardliners, what a loss. Right? They won. And how did they win? How were they able to do it? The answer is they took the initiative. Like we mentioned once before, a few months ago. The Aruch Chaim goes and says, right? Matatakelai, the pasuk in Beshalach. Daber Abnei Hashem, Daber Abnei Yisrael, V'yiso. The Aruch Chaim goes and says a sharp, very, very, very sharp thing. He says, Matatakelai is, in this juncture, don't go and start screaming. Don't go and start davening. It's not the time to daven. Take action. Daber Abnei Yisrael, V'yiso. Get moving. Do something. The Chashmonaim, says Alter Mikhail, they took the initiative that his Hesoirus to go and make a move was such a big schus, the Mesiris Nefesh, that they did and they had was the schus to enable them to win. One last step. Even when you make the move, it's still with the realization of who's making the real moves. Even when you make the moves, and you take the Hesoirus and you take the initiative, it's with the realization and the recognition of who's really accomplishing. There's a shlub. The Pasuk in Akiv goes and says, V'chisayimru, Rabin goyim ho'eila, eich ucha lahoirisha. When a person will say, there's so many non-Jews, eich ucha lahoirisha. And that sentiment is felt very much today. There's so much. You put in whatever you, so much threat, so much hate, so much, whatever you want to put in. Eichucha lo yirisham. The pasuk continues, lo yisira mehem. Lahavdil elef alfei avdolos. Let's say a person went to a therapist and said, you know, I'm so anxious, I'm so nervous, and I just get overwhelmed, and I get so stressed, and you're paying prime dollar, and he says to you, don't be nervous. Okay, I'll bill you. You would never go back. Lahavdil. The pasuk goes and says, Eichucha lo hirisham, what are we going to do? So many yidden. And Hashem says, Lo yisira mehem. Don't be scared. What was that give and take? What was the back and forth? Says the Shla. In the Shla, he has a piece on Chumash. Says, it's very hard to find it. Someone showed it to me years ago. So, I'll try to find it if anyone wants to see it. I'll show it to you inside. Says the Shla, an unbelievable thing. It's a drush, but it's unbelievable. He says, the V'chisoimru, Rabim goyim ho'eila eich ucha lo'hirisham. We learn that all together. And the answer is, lo'sira mehem. Says the Shla, no. There's a back and forth. V'chisoimru, Rabim goyim ho'eila. End. That's where you throw up your hands. And the answer is, eich ucha lo'hirisham. How in the world can I even overcome? Doesn't make any sense. I can't. It's impossible. It's like the Maccabim. It's not even possible. It's not even plausible, feasible. Whatever English word you want to use, it's not possible. That is the very schus and the very answer why you'll have success. Says the Shla, because when you come to that realization, that's impossible. I can't do it. By default, you have to turn to Hashem because it doesn't work. It doesn't add up. So where are you going to turn when it doesn't add up? You have to turn upwards. When you turn upwards, loisir me. The moment it's a eich ucha lohirisham, how in the world am I going to do this? Says the Shla, at that point, at that juncture, it's turning to Hashem, and therefore loisir mehem. And that's the ability. That's a nes Chanukah. When they stood up for Yiddishkeit. They were hardliners. They were fanatics. And they did something. It didn't make any sense. It was an Eich Ucha Lo Hirisham. And that's how they did it. And that was the Nes of Chanukah. It was the Nes of Chanukah. And that's why it's highlighted mostly the Nisim. Because we're highlighting not the tactical. We're not in West Point. We're not talking about the tactical guerrilla warfare. Which there was. And we could cough it up to guerrilla warfare. And it was, and that's how they did it. That was the mask of the Shaloi al Pidera Hateva. But the real reason was, the reason why they did it was because it was the Eich Ucha Loi Risha. And that's how they were able to go so far to get that result, Shaloi al Pidera Hateva. So, the Eich should help us all that whatever Yiddishkeit that we feel can be capitalized, Chanukah is the time. Chanukah is the time to make the most of it. To go and to stand up and say, I want it. And I'm going to go get it. And even when there's a Eich Uchal HaYrisham, and everyone has their own in their own lives, Eich Uchal HaYrisham, whatever scenario, whatever circumstance warrants that Eich Uchal HaYrisham, the answer is, Loi Sira Mehem. Afreil Chanukah.